Bruchim Abayim B'Shem Hashem B'Rechnuchim V'Yis Hashem. Welcome to our weekly Wednesday Shir. The Nishmas Ruzin Ba'Shal Chana and Ezra. The Shabbos Parsha Shmini, Parsha Chodesh. Again, two Sifrei Torah will be taken out. From the first, we'll read Parsha Shmini. And from the second, Parsha Chodesh, which is in Parsha's Boy, Chodesh Zelachem Reish Chadashim. First, Rashi, Chumash Bereishis, Zachir Elohei Tzarech, says Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Chodesh Torah should have started with Chodesh Zelachem. First mitzvah. Torah should begin with Achodesh Zelachem, with the mitzvah. And the fact that Torah begins with Sheish Mei Bereishis, Ma'isa Ovis, etc. is for a lesson that for us, for our daily life. Our daily life, how we live our lives, how our forefathers paved the road for us. It's not a past story, it's not a history, but rather it is an actual existence every year that we repeat, that we read it over and over. There is, first of all, one who learns Chumash, one who learns Chitas properly, will find every year a different chiddush in the parsha, a different something new in the parsha, something that I didn't see before. Here I'm learning chitas for 50 years, 60 years, never noticed it. And this year, and not only that, not ironically, of course, but according to Torah status, it's a step greater than that. You will find many people found that same thing. That chiddush that Torah wanted to reveal to the next generation or the next year that wasn't revealed the year before. This is not the godless of Torah. Tehra is not godless. This is the Kiddusha. This is the sanctity of Tehra. We don't say, I learned this already. I'm repeating it again. Why am I saying it again? Phone would be left right on the mic. Yeah. Spinich. Take the phone, please. I'm trying to record a shiur.
Thank you.
Baruch Kellner. But Epstein.
Hello.
I apologize. This is a chiddush of its own right. It happens. We have a house, Baruch Hashem. So if I record it at 10 o'clock at night, or if I record it at 4 o'clock in the morning, there's always something, Baruch Hashem. Always a chiddush. Hence the chiddush of the parsha every year. A new entity that which we see. So although HaKedosh Zelachem Reish Kadoshim should be the beginning of Teira, Teira should have started with HaKedosh Zelachem, because that is the first mitzvah of the Teira. Tells us Teira that in order, it's more important, it has more of a mamoshes to it, the fact that it is a concern, the Eibishter wanted, the world should know that the world is created for the Yidden, and that Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Yidden, it's our Yerusha, and therefore, hence we have all from the beginning of Chumash Bereishis until Achedish Zavachem. Mitzvah of Kiddush Achedish is one of the mitzvahs that, besides being the first, that it's also very most relevant and attached, connected to Klal Yisrael. The Yidden are compared to the Levana, compared to the moon. The moon has a novelty to it, in that on the 15th day of the Hebrew month, it is full. And on the last day of the Hebrew month, it is not there. We don't see it at all. And then it begins to again rejuvenate, renew. And then from the 15th, it begins its decline once again. Until Mashiach comes, which should be today, now, at this moment, Klal Yisrael has that very peaks and valley of life, where we are time of Shlema HaMelech, and where we are the time of the Inquisition of the Holocaust, Rechman al-Islam. Or today's day and age, we're not sure where we are. Although Klal Yisrael did go through what they went through, Simchas Torah and Eretz Yisrael, and are going through continuously throughout the world now, the anti-Semitism is pounding away in every door, in every college, etc. But we persevere, because we are Am Yisrael. We are the Hashem's chosen nation. We are His children. And therefore, when it comes to Parsha Chedesh, which is the beginning of a new month, which discusses the beginning of the new month, Rish Chedesh, it's always the Shabbos before Rish Chedesh Nisan, unless Rish Chedesh comes out on Shabbos, then it would be on that Shabbos. It's therefore begin the new Tkufa of the year, known as spring, although the weather outside might not dictate as such, but such is the fact. And based on that, we, as Am B'nai Yisrael, on the Kaddish L'Chedesh, we bench the new month, and we're going to Mi'etz Hashem, welcome in the month of Chedesh Nisan, which is the month, as you all know, is the Yom Tov of Pesach. And Mi'etz Hashem, in the coming Shiurim, we will discuss Dinim of Pesach, Dinim of the Seder, and the other Parshiyos. It is already possible to sell your chametz. For those who have a local rabbi, you can already start asking if he has is he already starting to do that. But why wait till later? The only thing is, though, people wait till later because they want to finish whatever they have in their house. Although the actual sale to the Rav happens when we do the transaction, he only sells it to the Goy Erev Pesach. But this action, this transaction, this what has to happen, transferring of ownership of chametz to a non-Jew throughout the week of Pesach, throughout the week of Pesach, is something that we must make sure that we do. We should not have one of the two of the lavim of Pesach is by Yiroa, by Yimotze. Do not see, do not find any chametz. Please give him whatever he wants so I don't have to keep having him scream. Like anything. So therefore, please see to it that either you yourself, or if it's a woman listening, she see to her husband does so, goes to the Rav to make sure they sell the chametz. If you do not have a local Rav, there are ways of doing it online. You can, if you're listening on the blog, or vlog, or whatever it's called, you will see my email. You can send me your information via email, and I will mark down on my shtar for Mechiras Chametz as well. Pasha Shmini ranges from one end to another, from one subject to another. This week, beginning of the week, was Chaf Aleph Adar, the Yahrzeit of Elimelech Lezhensk. And many people journeyed to Lezhensk to go to his grave. I had yesterday an article of the Melech Lezhensk, a grandchild, a descendant, who told me an interesting story that happened not long ago. There was a couple, Rahman al-Islam, that did not have children. And the fellow was talking to a Chassidish Yid, and the Yid told him, can't say for sure that it was time of Chaval of Adar or not, or just Stamazay. He told him, travel to Lezhensk, go to Elimelech, and daven for a child. And Hashem will definitely answer you. He says, we have geld for them, I don't have money for such things. He says, I'll tell you what. I feel your plight. I feel your pain. And it hurts me to see somebody, Rahman al-Islam, without children as well. On two conditions, I will pay your airfare and your all the expenses to go to Lezhensk and come back. And to daven there. What conditions? Number one, Mirz Shem, when you have a boy, I will be the tzaddik. Expense the tzaddikah is. Okay? And the second condition is you call the child Elimelech. After Elimelech Lezhensk. So that's it. That's it. The whole stipulation. Says, you're on. And the man pays his ticket, pays his journey. The man goes, comes back. And lo and behold, within the year, they have a little boy. And he calls up his benefactor. And he says to him, Rebid, Mazel Tov, we had a little yingula. I'm calling you to keep my condition. Really, condition is conditions. Well, condition one is you should be tzaddik. I have no problem. No questions, I'm not asking for a leniency, I'm not asking you to give somebody else, to give you a different kibbut. You're tzaddik. You're going to hold the baby during the bris. My wife, however, has a little problem. She always imagined herself holding her little son, and she wanted him to have a little more of a modern-day Israeli type of name. This guy said, no can do, buddy. You must remember, this was your promise. You cannot change that. You cannot back out of that. This is one of the conditions, and this is one of the reasons you got the bracha, was he going to call him Elimelech. So he says, you know what, let's make a pshara. I'll call him Elimelech also. Whatever my wife wants to call him, and I'll call him Elimelech. Man says, okay, that could work too. Well, the man sat there at Sandik, and they took the baby off after the bris, they took the baby to hold him for the brachas and the name. And the wife had a very, very beautiful intuition. She wanted the child to always be Noam. She wanted a son Noam. So they called the boy Noam Elimelech. He happens to be a Lubavitcher boy today. He learns the Bavitcher Yeshivas. He's Noam Elimelech. For those who are not savvy to this fact, the Sefer, the Melech HaGenz Krod, is called Naim of the Melech.
No, nothing.
Yes, yes, don't tell me no. Just because you're two. Very important to keep to a promise. More so, very important is to be very, very careful what we say and how we say. And there was a story told of a young girl who was struggling in school. And the parents decided maybe a change of school would help. And they got her into a very, very good school. And the first day she showed up in school, and these four girls, a clique in high school, freshmen on their own, decided the new kid is going to have, we have what to laugh about. We're going to make fun of the new kid. And they did just that. They made fun of her. They humiliated her, something terrible. Well, child left, went home, and said, bawling and crying, there's no way I'm going back there. There's no way I'm going back there. It's over. I'm not going back there. Well, can't keep her home. They went back to the old school. The old school took her back, Tucker. And she continued. And she continued in the school. You want to join this year? Zaidi is making a shear. the benefits of being two. Anyway, this girl went to the other school. These girls continued their years. The girls grew up, Baruch Hashem. They got married, Baruch Hashem. But there was a little issue. These four girls were married for several years and were not blessed with children. One on the slide. They were not blessed with children. One on the slide. You want somebody to turn on the light in the front fan, please? He doesn't know what happened to his mother. Well, they were talking one day. Turn on, please. Chandelier.
Mommy.
Mm-hmm. were sitting one day discussing, and they all came to the conclusion, remember, we insulted that girl. Could it be that it's her kapeda? That it's her kapeda that we're not having children? And they found the girl, because they didn't live that far from each other. And one of the girls went to ask forgiveness. And she came in, and she asked her, you remember us? You remember me? Unfortunately, I was one of those four girls that
Mommy.
Made fun of you. She said, I know very well. She said, I've come to ask you for forgiveness. She says, are you kidding me? Are you joking? I'm carrying that shame from then till today. The shame and the pain that you people caused me. There's no way I could possibly forgive you. The girl saw it was fruitless. She picked up and she left. Thought of sending others, this one, that one. Finally they came up with an idea to send the teacher. The teacher from that year, when the girl met a few minutes. But the girl knew who she was. So the teacher comes to her. And the teacher spoke to her about the virtue of forgiveness. Spoke to her the importance of forgiving. And so she said, finally the girl consented, I will meet with them on condition nobody brings up that story. Nobody bring up that what happened. Don't remind me of it. It's a wound that cuts through me. Agreed. They set a date and they came to the girl's house. And each one brought up a different delicacy, a different dish. They're going to have a picnic, a party, a fabrengen, whatever. And they sat for over an hour and they had a very, very strong camaraderie built. They were very happy sitting and talking to each other. When one of them got up and said, clearly, there's a problem, there's an issue that we have caused, and therefore, we need to ask forgiveness. Without mentioning this story. Because clearly, the problem that we're not having children is because there's something we did. At this point, the camaraderie was so strong, was so high, and they were so connected one another. The girl called out, Machulachem, 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 I forgive you. And within a year, they all were blessed with a child. Story is a two-sided knife, a two-sided sword, as we say in America. One side of the sword is how we need to be careful what we say. But the more important side of the sword is we need to learn how to forgive. It's extremely difficult to forgive. Someone gets hurt, it's very hard forgiving them. Understandably so. But we need to learn how to forgive. The destruction caused by the not forgiving is something we cannot understand. Therefore, when one asks for forgiveness, as hard as it might be, one needs to dig deep down to forgive and thereby be forgiven for anything, any iniquities, any pain that they may have caused. This, therefore, is the lesson, the double lesson of this very story. As we're going to learn now, within the parasha, of the different karbanis, different sacrifices, which were brought for forgiveness, and of different sacrifices, and different occurrences that happened for forgiveness, but unfortunately were not necessarily forgiven. Bashmini begins with the Shmini the Miluim. 8 days were preparing the sanctifying, the grand opening, the Chinukas Habayis of the Mishkan. Each day, 7 days prior, the Mishkan was set up and was taken apart. Every day. But on the 8th day, it was set up, and now it became a set thing. And then they began what's known as the Avodas HaMishkan, the service in the Mishkan. Chumash, to your right, up. Keep going to your right. That's one. You take that one better. One of the symbols that showed more important than greatness of the holiness of the day was the flame that came down from Shemayim and consumed all the sacrifices that Aaron and his children brought. Flame came down for Hashem and consumed on the altar the oila, the fats. Pasuk says everybody saw this, were petrified, were not horrified, but were very, very scared, shall we say, and they fell on their faces. This is one of the highlights of the 8th day. We have nothing to do with the musical group, really. This is talking about the 8th day of the Mishkan's being prepared for service. But then the parasha continues and talks about the two sons of Aaron HaKohen, Nadav and Avihu. And they passed away. And the reason they passed away, very, very high souls, and they passed away literally because it was called Kales HaNefesh. Their tshuka, their yearning to connect to God, and we spoke about this in past Yerim on Shmini, was Ratzo V'Neshev. They only wanted to be one with the one above. Which again shows, not symbolically even, how high the Jewish nation had become, what they achieved spiritually, that these two were ready to literally only, only wanted to be one with God. They consumed wine. And we derive that because immediately after this portion, Aaron is commanded the commandment that he may not drink wine and come into the holy temple. Therefore, one of the assumptions, besides the fact they brought it a sacrifice that was not unwarranted, but rather not asked for, and they entered the Holy of Holies. But one of the reasons also is because they were shasiyayim. Not necessarily inebriated. A hint from the Sifri of the word hayayin, of the wine. The numerical value, the Valaturim tells us back in Parshas Noach, hayayin is 75, which is also the gematria of yelolo, getting a little rowdy, teaching us that drinking wine brings to this state of mind. As we see by another one of you, and other stories in Tanakh, and therefore Chazal tell us, if you keep the score at home, it's Gemara Brachas Mem Amar Aleph, where Chazal tell us, what causes your lola in the person? Only wine. Spirits. But look at the other side of the coin, as we say. Mustn't forget that yayin is a very, very important drink. We use it for Kiddush and for Havdalah and for other holy things. Naming of a baby, etc. For this too, the Baal Turim finds a hint in the Torah, where the Pasuk talking about Yayin begins with the word Ulahavdil, to separate. And the bringing this, the reason that these are brought one next to the other, to teach us that wine is also used for Havdalah. On Matzai Shabbos Kodesh, we make Havdalah on wine. Although, because of the lack of wine, the Chacham established one could use Chamar Medina, whatever is the going drink of the town. But wine is the go-to, as is by Kiddush. Although by day, it says in the Siddur, one can make on challah as well. And by day we see many people that make on mashka. Wrong. Kiddush is wine. Havdalah is wine. And we know that the Mishkan, and we just said this is Yom HaShemini, the eighth day. And it started the first day of the preparations on a Sunday. So the 7 days went Sunday through Shabbos. Now the eighth day being Sunday. The Rebbe says, perhaps we could learn from this, since it was a Sunday, the wine that they had drank was from Havdalah. So the sages tell us, another one of you are great, great people, great tzaddikim. And the smallest of sins were considered very grave for them. And therefore, this approach of going and using wine and service of Esamilash didn't sit right. But we need to learn, we give Lamed Schus on the Kedeshim, they're holy people. The Anshe Shem and Misharsov, they drank sometimes more than needed by big meals, especially by Sudas Mitzvah. They definitely, their intentions were Lashem Shemayim. Because Mishti Yayin, they would say Divrei Torah by the table. A lot more Divrei Torah. Secrets of Torah would be revealed because of the great joy. And many people will tell you things they learned that they wouldn't have said regularly. Nichnas Yayin Yetzir Seid. So we find the intentions of these people. Even when they drank, it was a good intention. They didn't have ill intent by drinking. As we just said, Yayin is 70, Seid is 70, secrets. So then from there, the Nichnas Yayin, Yetzir Seid, became his going home two times, the Gemara, Erevin, Samachim, and Aleph, and Sanhedrin, Lamed Chesem, and Aleph. According to one opinion, the passing of Nadav and Avihu was a punishment to Aaron and Avihu, their father, on the fact that he took part of the Chet HaEgel. And because the Torah tells us, Shalom Yishalim, therefore, the Dvar Pesha, Al Kol Dvar Pesha, Al Sher, Al Chamer, Al His pasuk hints to Aaron, the words begin Kol Dvar Pesha, which is the gematria Aaron Pesha, Aaron sinned. Also the next words Al Sher Al Chamer fit also to the sin of the golden calf. Fact that Aaron had any kind of connection with it, with all these wicked people, the Chameirim. And therefore, Shilim Shnayim, he paid two with both two sons. We see from the Parsha Veda B'Meshel, Aaron Ve'Lavazav Ve'Lesomer B'Bonav Ve'Lesorim. Meshel speaks to Aaron, Elazar and Issam of the children that were remaining. For this is a general decree on Aaron that two of his sons, younger sons, died. Elazar and Issam remained alive. We don't understand how that worked in its own. Af Hashem, the anger of Hashem burnt on him. Af is Gematria 81. Nodav Avihu, Gematria 81. We're going to leave this alone now. All this is from Reb Levick, the Rebbe's father. It's getting, and besides being very, very esoterical, it's getting very spooky. So the beginning of the parasha starts off with a beautiful hamshacha of the beautiful stage, the highest level of Bnei Yisrael, the beginning of Teda, and all of a sudden goes off to the discussion of behemoths, tahedis, tmeis, animals that are pure, impure, till it gets to the eating of shkatzim and ramasim, vermin, bugs. A person that's capable of eating bugs is rock bottom. And therefore these things, that the life of a person is disgusted and revolted from them, so the normal mind dictates that these are disgusting things. And yet the Torah has to warn. stringently to the people that are this low level that are ready to eat this. And unfortunately, we all know the crassness and the lowness of today's people, how people do eat just that. I don't want to go into anything of the description to it. In your mind's eye, if you'd like to get disgusted for a few hours and not be able to eat, lose your appetite, go ahead, knock yourself out, but I'm not going to be the one. The normal person, when we were kids, would say the worst thing that happened to a person is biting into a fruit or a vegetable and finding worms. Worse than that is finding half worms. Okay, that did it. The question then becomes, how is it possible that this warning of eating shkatzim and amasim comes from the continuation of the very same pasuk that starts off with the eighth day of the Beis Hamikdash being set up? The highest level Klal Yisrael reached, and so much so, as we just said, Nadav and Aviyu were at such a high level, a spiritual level, that they just, their souls just went up. They didn't want to come back down to the world. The lesson that we're getting direct to us is two words: Kabbalas Oil, accepting a yoke. We have, and we all, and not all, but many of us, lack that attribute of just accepting when we're told this is how it's done, to do it that way. And therefore there are times that it looks like the Kabbalah's ale is only important when you're in the lowest of levels, when you don't have love of Hashem, you don't have a yearning to attach yourself to Him. When a person reaches the high levels of service Hashem, and they're davening on Yom Kippur, by Kol Nidre or by Ni'ila even, and they've now achieved as high as you can get, he needs Kabbalah Seil. He needs to be told that you have to accept acceptance of the yoke of heaven. He now recognizes with all his emotion, all his every feeling of his, every bone of his life, everything, he's one with God. Comes the Torah and tells us, Kabbalah Seil is the foundation, the fundamental of Aveda. A person needs to involve themselves in Kabbalah Seil even when he stands in the highest of levels. It's prohibited to a person. It's prohibited that the service of Hashem should only be because I understand it, because I'm emotionally involved, and because I'm ready to. I'm in love with the one above and I want to be connected with him. The basis to everything is Kabbalah Seil Malach Shemaim. And if Chas V'Shalom person does not have Kabbalah Seil, they come to a situation where they can hit rock bottom and bottom out, where you don't get any further down until one can come to actually eating Chas V'Shalom, what we said before. Does one need to do soul searching if Chas V'Shalom they do find shkatzim and amasim in their food? They do find that perhaps the Chas V'Shalom consumed one? Unintentionally, Chas V'Shalom. But yes, this is exactly what Kabbalah Seil is all about. To understanding and accepting that this is put there because Hashem wanted it as such. So the highest levels, tells us the Torah, tells us Parashat Shemini, we need to always drive and thrive and strive for Kabbalah Seil. This is the way that we stand ourselves up in a spiritual level, in the highest of levels, and we don't chas shalom fall. The Baal Shem Tov once sent the Maggid to a certain town. When he was going to that town, he told the Maggid to send regards to a colleague of mine. He gave him the name. Famous story, the Maggid came to the town and he was looking for this great, great sage that the Baal Shem Tov sent regards to personally. So we don't have such a sage. He said the name and he gave it with all the different titles that you could possibly give. So there's no such guy here. Only guy with that name, though, is a Malamed. He teaches children at the end of the city. In his humble abode. And he comes there and he sees the Malamed sitting on a log. Children sitting on stones, whatever it might be, and he's teaching. He asks him, "Are you such and such?" He says, "Yes." He says, "I have regards to Baal Shem HaKadosh." "Oh, thank you so much. Pray tell. If you're such a holy person, why are you living like this? Where's your furniture? Where's your..." He says, "What do you mean? At home. At home I have furniture. I have a beautiful home. I have everything I need." See, said in simple English, "Pardon my ignorance, what are you talking about? He said, "What are you talking about? This is not home. This is on the road. JPT, just passing through here. My home?" "My home is Achamei Vesen. Everything that I built, everything that I made happen, everything that I have, Achamei Vesen, this is my home. There I have my furniture and everything I need." But here, this is a just passing through stage. I don't live here, Chas V'Shalom. And this he understood, the very strong message that the Baal Shem Tov wanted to give him. How the world is only a stepping stone. The main thing is the world to come. And therefore, the Kabbalah said, we know where we stand and how we stand. Pasuk says, "V'yikra Meshel Mishol ve'el El Tzofon." He called these two people, Mishol and El Tzofon, the children of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and he said to them, "Kirvu su'as achechem es b'nei hakedesh and mechus l'machna. Come forth and take these two, your brothers, from within the holy, and take them where they have to go. Take them where they have to be put." So we have to understand. I have 10 minutes to... Please tell her I have 10 minutes to shir, Sarifka. Yeah. So Rashi says, like a person says to his friend, who goes before, there's a dead person in front of a kala, and says, don't disturb the simcha, take him away quickly. Why does Rashi have to bring a special reason for taking out these bodies of Nadav and Avihu from the Mishkan and explain in order not to disturb the simcha? They have to be buried. They have to be brought to Chmona Litzlan to Kfuras Yisrael. This itself is a question of Rashi. This itself is a question of Rashi, I'm sorry. What did the Pasuk see in the middle of a whole beautiful Chanukas HaMishkan on the 8th day of the Miluim to tell us these Pratim and the commandment of Mishol, of Meshach to the Mishol and the Tzofon, to take them out, Nadav and Avihu, and how they did it? Obviously they weren't left there. Obviously they were taken out to be buried. This is what Rashi's, in his own beautiful way, coming to explain to us. Kirvu suas achechem, come forth and take your brothers. This was not in order to bring them just to bury them. This part, this action of taking them out in itself, in its own right, was an aved in the Mishkan. Since their bodies were another view, the bodies of another view were found in the Mishkan, it was disturbing the Simcha Chanukas HaMishkan. Therefore, they needed to be removed from there in order to continue the Avedus HaYayim. Like a person says to his friend, in taking away the dead body in front of the Kala, not to stop the Simcha. Don't destroy the Simcha. Them being there, everything came to a standstill. In order to continue, they needed to be removed. Therefore, we see also why Moshe asks El Tzofon and Uzziel, Dafke who were Levim, they were from Levites. Why didn't he ask a regular Jew, a simple Jew? Why a Levite? Because now they're becoming Tomei. They're becoming impure and can't do anything else in the temple. In order to take away the simcha, to help continue the simcha in the Chanukas HaMishkan. But now we understand exactly that. Taking these people out was in order that the Mishkan should be able to have its continual simcha. In order for the simcha to continue, these people had to be taken out. So Kol Zman they were there, they couldn't do the Aveda any further. Taking them out, therefore, was a pu'ula nimshachas that caused that they can now continue the service in the Mishkan. So this in itself was an Aveda in the Mishkan, and therefore it had to be done through a Levi, not through a Yisrael. Because this in itself was an Aveda. And from this we learn a tremendous lesson in life. The Rambam writes, Lei shevet Levi bilvad, elo kol ish vi ish chuli, asher nod veruchei, oisei veivinu, madu lehavdu lehamid, lefnei Hashem, leshansi lavdei. Not only a shevet Levi, anyone that has a proper approach and attitude to serve. Uporach me'al tzavare, and take off from his shoulders the ill, the cheshbenes herabma, asher bikshu v'nei adam, which are asked from many, many people. Harizenes Kaddish Kiddush Kedoshim, they are sanctifying Kiddush Kedoshim. V'yi Hashem Chilkei, and God will be his part. And his Yerusha is a Nachlosei. K'mesh Zocha L'Kehanim L'Levim. Just like the Kehanim L'Levim merited, so to any Jew that devotes himself to the service to Hashem, they too cause just that. This person, shenodva ruchei oisei, that his spirit was totally dedicated and devoted to Hashem. He is a level of a Levi. He achieves the level as a Levite. And therefore, he has this stature now, like a Levite. And he would think, perhaps, since he's in Skadish Kirish Kedoshim, he's sanctifying the Holy of Holies, he only should be involved in Torah Kedusha. But something in the opposite, the Surah Meirah, going away from evil, going away from bad. It's best he doesn't involve with that. Let his Kadosh Kirish Kedoshim. He didn't throw off of his shoulders yet the works of the public, as we call it. And this is therefore what the Pasuk is telling us. When it's needed, lahavir es hames, to take away the dead body. To explain, to separate from something that is unholy, and to bring it to sanctity. Something that's withholding joy, the simcha of evolving in this world, one should be totally given over to Hashem Yisbarach and commanded this way, just like the Levim. Just they as well also elevate and stand before the Abish to serve him and to be involved in the taking away of the bad, the evil of the world. And take away the unrefined items of the world, and only in this way can a person prepare the world for the Eibishter to serve the way one needs to serve. So maybe Taka see this Shabbos that we serve again in the Beis Hamikdash HaShlishi with Mashiach Tzidkenu Yerushalayim Yer HaKedosh, and we should lack nothing in spirituality, we should lack nothing in Avos Yisrael HaChaman Son. We should learn to live, forgive, and only remember good and holiness. Shabbos to all.